I think it was a few weeks ago that we had a caller on the phone who was snoring. I know producer Pete and I were working together, and there was someone else in the control room, maybe a guy who was training, one of our younger employees. But I remember it was the latest in our collection, because it seems like when people fall asleep and snore on the phone, at least for our show, they generally sound like barnyard animals of some sort. See what I mean? And so it happens frequently that we put people to sleep. And I'll tell you, you'll hear me say it all the time. If what you need is sleep, this comes from a person who has major sleep challenges. If what you need is sleep and the show helps you go to sleep, terrific. I will not take that in any way as a slight, as a criticism, as a, you know, any type of indication that the show sucks or is boring. If what you need is sleep, well then, hallelujah. I hope you can sleep to after hours. Now, some of you tell me that it does the opposite, that the show keeps you awake. I can't be responsible for that. That's great, though. I mean, think about it, too. If someone falls asleep while they're listening to the show, theoretically, their phone, the radio just continues on. Well, Nielsen ratings and other technology that targets ratings and calculates ratings, they have no idea whether or not the listener is actually listening or whether he or she is sleeping. So it helps us too. I say all that to let you know that there is a dog snoring behind me here in the after hour super secret pillow fort. Apparently, she's decided that there's nothing exciting to see or hear here. But earlier, as I was getting ready, so about an hour before we started the show, I connected our piece of equipment so that Ryan and I can communicate and we can get ready. And the dog is everywhere. So she'd been in her crate for a few hours while I was just prepping and took a little bit of a nap after the game, and she wanted to go in the crate herself, right? She hopped up on the bed first, and I made her get down. So then she comes trotting into this other room where we've got the pillow fort set up, and she just goes right in her crate, and she lays down. So she'd taken a nap herself, and when I got her out of the crate about an hour before the show started, she was so excited. I thought she was going to wake up the whole house with her tail. Her tail is a major weapon. She was wagging it so furiously that it was banging against each side of the crate, and I really did think she was going to wake everyone up. So then, as I'm getting ready, get my coffee, turn on the equipment, turn on the computer, start going through some of our audio, she can flatten herself out, almost like she's doing a split, like she's a cheerleader. She can flatten herself out and crawl under the beds. And there's two beds in the room where I am, two twin beds. She was under each of the beds twice, like kind of crawling underneath, tunneling her way from bed to bed behind her crate. And I'm thinking, shoot, I don't know how this is going to go. She winded me a couple times. I took her out. She was playing with her fried egg. That's her favorite toy. It's kind of funny. It is a fried egg on a half a bagel, and it's her favorite toy so far. She was all over the place, and I wasn't sure if she's going to settle down, but now she's snoring, like out, completely out. So I guess sports is not all that interesting to her. You can see the photo up on our Facebook page. I did throw it up there just because it's so cute. She is really cute. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Her name is Flower. I've come up with a lot of different nicknames for her already. Decided to keep Flower as her name since she does respond to it. All I know is that she was surrendered by an owner who got evicted from his home and was going into a shelter and couldn't take the dog with him. Unfortunately, she's been through a lot. She was in a pretty rough animal shelter here in Texas for about 3 months, and she's developed a few bad habits, but she's still pretty sweet. A lot of interaction between her and my mom's Aussie, which is only a one-year-old. He's pretty new as well. And so that's been rough. It's like two toddlers trying to keep them from slapping each other. So there's been a lot of that. A lot of Flower! And then the Aussie's name is Tucker. Flower! Tucker! Flower! Tucker! Actually, I shouldn't say her name. Let me see. Oh, whoops. She sat up.
Sorry, Bubba.
You can go back to sleep. It's okay. She heard me talking about her. Crap. That was a bad idea. Anyway, so she's not snoring now, she's looking at me, but I'm glad she's comfy. As a new photo up there on Facebook as well as on Twix at A-Law Radio. More stories to come, like about the one in which we adopted her on Friday. Man, that was a lot. But I'm glad to be with you. It's now Sunday night. We're post most of the NFL weekend. One more game to come on Monday night. And I hate to say it doesn't matter, because that's not true. It matters for jobs. It matters for contracts. It just matters a lot of times for mental and emotional type of well-being after a really long season. Of course, if someone gets injured seriously, it definitely matters. So we'll see how the Lions play it. Because as much as you want to keep momentum going and you want to be sharp as you head toward the playoffs, this is not like sitting all of your guys in the final week before you would go into playoffs. You still have another game. I don't want to call it a tune-up because that's not fair. But the Lions are already in the playoffs, and so you do have one more game. And if you get the bye, then you actually have that week off. So there's kind of some strange ways this could work out for the Lions. We'll see what they do against the Niners on Monday night. I will be with you coming up on Monday night as well, heading into New Year's Eve, which will be a lot of fun. Happy New Year to you. Happy holidays. Lots of messages from all over the globe, which is cool. Thanks so much for thinking of me, thinking of our family. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. Well, how did we get here? How did we get to Vikings and Lions? Week 18, Sunday Night Football for the number one seed and the NFC North title? Well, because Sam Darnold is dealing right now. And as the Vikings and Packers got on the field Sunday afternoon, we saw Minnesota hit the ground with the full force of Sam Darnold.
No huddle operation. Darnold looking to go on second down, and here he goes out of the shotgun. He pumps, fires to the end zone. Thrown 33. First and 10 from the Green Bay 18. The Vikings are chewing on the clock here in the third quarter. Play action. And Sam throws to the right. Throws to Addison. Caught. Touchdown! Jordan Addison with his ninth receiving touchdown this year. Jefferson left, three receivers right. Akers jumps to the right, now back to the left. Darnold out of the shotgun, takes the snap, swings it to Akers, turns it up to the 10, to the 5, touchdown! Cam Akers with his third touchdown this season.
Our friend Paul Allen on Vikings Radio, man, they came out firing. And my mom's not a huge football fan. She watches a lot just because her husband has it on a bunch. And so she was talking about the Vikings game because we were watching Vikings and Packers. And wow, what a catch. And whoa, he leaped up high in the air. And wow, he dove to get that. And oh my gosh, I can't believe he caught that. That was my mom's kind of amateur reaction to the Vikings. And honestly, isn't that the truth? The Vikings have a bunch of weapons. They have a lot of different ways that Sam Darnold can distribute the football. And it's got to be a little bit like an embarrassment of riches almost, considering the situations that Sam Darnold was in before he got to Minnesota. Whether or not he's keeping the seat warm, how quickly we see J.J. McCarthy, I have no idea. What I know is that Sam Darnold has stepped into a void that Minnesota desperately needed to fill, probably didn't want to throw McCarthy out there right away, though maybe they would have tried that, thinking better for him to get the reps. But man, they bring in Aaron Jones. They add his versatility to a roster that includes Justin Jefferson, if not the best receiver, one of the top two best receivers in the NFL. And Jordan Addison, we've seen a resurgence there. Jalen Naylor has been a great addition. Obviously, TJ Hawkinson, when he's healthy. How about Cam Akers? May not play a massive role all the time, but he still is a veteran guy who can be a big part of this offense and provide another wrinkle. And so if you look at the box score, or if you watch the game, but just for so we make sure we're accurate, if you look at the box score, eight different Vikings caught passes from Sam Darnold. He ends up with a career-high 377 yards. He threw 43 times. He only missed on 10 of those. a lot of credit goes to his receivers, of course, because not every pass is perfect. But he's averaging nearly 9 yards per pass in this game. 9 yards. Think about that. Means you're moving the chains a lot when Darnold is throwing. In addition, they're able to keep the defense honest, run the ball a little bit. I mean, I just love the way that they can use the short passes too out of the backfield to also kind of simulate or imitate, not quite imitate, but simulate the running game too. He's getting rid of the ball quickly, but it's not like he needs to because that offensive line has been terrific in front of him. He gets sacked one time in this game and only hit 4 other times. So not a whole lot of dirt on his jersey. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Sam Darnold's been terrific this season. Really a revelation for Kevin O'Connell.
What can I say about Sam Darnold other than another big time performance when his team needed it? Phenomenal moment in the locker room after the game when he finally made it in there. Was really cool, and I'm just so proud of him. There's so many things that lead into moments like this for Sam since he became a Minnesota Viking.
I'm not sure if we can grab this, Ryan, at some point, because it's kind of cool. I was reading the accounts and seeing some of the video. There were 100 people in the locker room waiting for Sam Darnold, and he was doing the on-field interviews, big game, of course. And so inside the locker room, they're waiting for him to come in. Owners, coaches, players, members of the front office, they were all wanting him to be the centerpiece. And so, yeah, he talked to Tom Brady. That was after the game. Maybe even talked to him earlier this week to get ready for the game. But also, Fox Sports reporter Tom Rinaldi tracked him down for an interview. And here he is in the center of a spotlight that for so long was focused on him. Why? Because of his dubious start with the Jets. And remember, the "I'm seeing ghosts" comment that was caught on mic. That was a Monday Night Football game, right, Ryan, if you remember? I think that was Monday Night Football. Yeah, versus the Patriots. Thank you. And so it was a mess there. Then he ends up in Carolina. That doesn't work either. Of course, neither do Baker Mayfield. I say that's more about Carolina than it is about Sam Darnold. And I wondered whether or not his development would be stunted so poorly and so badly by the Jets that he would never recover. But think about the two situations that he left before he ended up in San Francisco. And that was just a year, but maybe the reset button. Right, to get him back on track, to maybe teach him what it's like to be in a professional organization that's got its stuff together. So yeah, for him, this has been a year that we're really able to see the tools and the mental part of this that maybe put him in a position to be drafted number 2 overall going way back to 2018. He's now sitting on nearly 4,200 yards passing. He's in the top 5 in touchdowns this season and another 377 yards to tack on. Let's see if I can get the updated numbers here. So we're looking at, 4,153 yards, 35 touchdowns, a dozen picks only, including one against the Packers. But they built such a big lead that even when you saw the Packers rally, it was too late. And that's been an issue over and over for them. So we'll talk about the Packers. But for Sam Darnold to be in this spot at this perfect time, at times in life, how often does it come down to, hey, just being in the right place at the right time and being ready for your moment? But you got to imagine there's a little bit of this pinch me factor when he's talking to guys like Tom Brady, who's awarding him the LFG honor following this one.
No, it was great to be able to obviously talk to, you know, the best to ever do it. It's always special whenever you get to have him call your game and talk to guys like Tom Rinaldi after the game. It's, you know, I don't take stuff like that for granted ever. You know, it's a special, special moment to be able to, you know, share with those people. And like I said, just all around, just our team, my teammates, every single person in this organization, I'm just, happy to be here.
How about that? He's just a different guy than he was when he got drafted, which is not that atypical. Of course, guys grow up, but there were a lot of people that thought he was a complete and total bust after a couple years, the Jets included. And then we talk about the Panthers and their, revolving door of QBs. But he's found a home in Minnesota. And I wonder, right, wonder what happens after this, because J.J. McCarthy, at some point, they're going to need to put him out there. They have to understand what they had. They spent a high draft pick on him in the first round. They need to know if he is capable of running a team, if he's capable of being a top-flight QB. And I don't know how quickly it's going to happen. I would suspect that we would see, whenever the season is done for the Vikings, I suspect that we'll see some type of a quarterback competition. And Sam Darnold will have an opportunity, but maybe, just maybe, this season is about him finding his next stop, which is rough. I mean, think about it. He went from, gosh, let's see, Carolina would have been two seasons ago, and then San Francisco for a year, and now in Minnesota. That would be four teams in 4 years if he does end up moving on. But still, you can see the difference with him now, and no doubt he's earned himself more work in the NFL, if nothing else. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Before we get to our break, we just keep running into the same thing with the Green Bay Packers, and I talked about it on Thursday night. I guess it was more like Friday morning as we were previewing this big game from week 17. The Packers cannot afford to come out of the gate slowly. They cannot afford to be the tortoise to the hare that turned out to be the Vikings racing to 14-2. And yeah, they came up with a big fourth quarter. In fact, a big second half. They had 22 of their 25 points in the second half. But to have only one positive drive in the first half, to me, that means you're not ready. You're not ready to compete with the best in the NFL. And we've seen that in their own division, also against the Eagles. They're just not ready to be at that highest level. I do believe they have a lot of the great tools in place, and I think Jordan Love is terrific. And yeah, they're not giving up here. It's not like they're throwing in the towel. They are a playoff team, and look what they did against Dallas in the wild card round just about a year ago. But this issue of continually putting themselves behind the eight ball in the first quarter and the first halves of games, they've got to fix that.
Yeah, I mean, belief's there. We know wasn't good enough in a lot of areas tonight. You know, off to a very slow start. Obviously, not putting up any points early on didn't hurt to help us. But yeah, I mean, obviously, we know what type of team we are, and there's just a lot of stuff to clean up.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously bothers me. You know, I just think that you can't get down against good football teams, and if there's a lesson there, that is the lesson, because it's tough to come back. I think our guys continue to fight and battle and scratch and claw, but ultimately we just can't put ourselves in a hole like that.
Yeah, it's kind of rough that that's becoming the Packers' MO. Every team has a fatal flaw, but for the Packers, they have the tools that they need. It just seems like they shoot themselves in the foot early on. And what you hear from Matt LaFleur is accurate. I mean, it certainly bothers him, not that part, but the part where you just can't do that against good teams. So yes, they are a playoff team. I think they're better than they were a year ago, but they've got to get this under control, whatever it is. And it's not like it's the inability to play in the first quarter. That's not even a thing. It's got to be mental. It's got to be about how they come out of the locker room and how they're prepared. And certainly that's not just coaching. It's also about the leadership on the team and having that intensity dialed up. And it's even worse when you're on the road in a place like Minneapolis where they are fired up. But still, 11-5 season. They are a wild card team. And the NFC North is stacked. They've been trained against some of the toughest in their division and certainly in the conference, though they haven't been successful in most of those games, and against the Eagles as well. They also come up short. Remember, that was the game in Brazil to start the season when they lost Jordan Love. But they have weathered a ton of adversity. Again, I think they're better than they were at this time a year ago, and look what they did to start out the playoffs. Now, they're not going to catch anybody by surprise, but they've got some depth to them, if you will. Now, speaking of the Eagles, they clinched the NFC East, so that division's already locked up, even as the Commanders make it a two-team division into the postseason. But the Eagles, as they take out the Dallas Cowboys, really cut out the legs from underneath them. This game was about Saquon, the star running back. So we'll talk about him and what he still has left if he wants to become the single-season rushing leader in NFL history. It's doable, and you can imagine the team would like him to have it, but how much do they still have to play for, and wouldn't it completely suck if he ends up getting hurt before they would get to the postseason? So there are some decisions to be made there, but we'll talk about Saquon and hear from Saquon coming up next. At A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too, pictures of the flower girl who's with me tonight experiencing sports radio for what I have to believe is the first time. I hope you had a great weekend from the After Hours Super Secret Pillow Fort here in Houston. Mom's spare bedroom, pillows lining the walls. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's the most wonderful time of the year for getting in on all the hoops, football, and hockey action at DraftKings Sportsbook. And here's a gift for all new customers. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if your bet wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code AMY. That's code AMY for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets if your bet wins. That's code AMY for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets if your bet wins when you bet just $5. Happy holidays from DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas. 21 plus, age and eligibility vary by jurisdiction. Must be present in a state where it's lawful to wager. Void in Ontario. Bet must win to receive reward. Bonus bets are non-cash credits that expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/bball.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Rush is back. Here comes the rush. He fires, and it's intercepted! It's intercepted! Running with the football is Gardner Johnson. He's at the 30, the 20, the 10. Touchdown, Eagles on a pick six. Three receivers to the near side. Have to tear it to the far side. Pickett, and the gun, he's back. He steps up. He looks. He is firing deep. He wants Smith. He's got a touchdown! Pickett to Devontae Smith, 21 yards. It goes back to Barkley. Barkley breaks the tackle. He's at the 40. He's at the 30. He is at the 25-yard line. He is down at the 25-yard line. Let's see what he has right now as he goes to the 25-yard line. He has just broken the 2,000-yard rushing mark. Saquon Barkley goes into NFL history.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of one Merrill Reese on Eagles Radio. Yes, congratulations to Saquon Barkley. I don't want to say it was a foregone conclusion, even though we've been going this way now for a few weeks and people have been tracking it, because it is a really difficult position to withstand so much pounding. But when Saquon Barkley is healthy, he's a game changer. Not only is he healthy this season, but he fits perfectly into what is a reconstructed Eagles identity. Now, it turns out it's pretty similar to who they were 2 years ago when they made the Super Bowl. But Saquon gives them new purpose, new drive, certainly a new wrinkle. And now he is within sight of the NFL single season rushing record. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. 167 yards for Barkley to top 2,000 on the season. Only 8 other players have ever done this, including Eric Dickerson, obviously. You may remember Adrian Peterson a few years ago now. It's been more than a few years. But remember, he was coming off a torn ACL, and he ended up winning MVP, right? Because he had he was able to top 2,000 yards and doing it in coming off of an ACL. An incredible performance from him. So that's trying to think if that's the most recent one, but he's he's a guy that was a freak of nature athletically, right? It was a little bit later in his career. Here's Saquon Barkley, who I just think is a hard worker. And the way that he is able to put his head down and go to work and fit right in with the Eagles after being with the Giants, not make so much of it that it's about him. It's about his desire to have vengeance on the team that wouldn't pay him what he was worth, and that couple of years of going around the mountain with the Giants. Nah, he's enjoying playing football. He was still out there in the fourth quarter, too. They pulled him once he got over 2,000 yards. And now they've got a decision to make about week 18. But as for Saquon, I appreciate his humility, even when he's asked about this milestone for running backs.
You know, being a fan of the game and the running back position, to reach a milestone and put myself up there with eight other backs that I respect, and some of them I grew up watching, definitely means a lot. But at the same time, I wouldn't be able to do that with this team. And like I said, you can't be great without the greatness of others, and I'm just happy I was able to be a part of the team and be able to reach a milestone like that.
Remember, he was drafted number 2 overall out of Penn State with the Giants, and many people will think about his rookie year. He was over 1,300 yards that season. But I will forever think about Barkley the year that the Giants made the playoffs. I mean, it kind of stands out now, right? Where Daniel Jones got the big contract, which the Giants immediately regret that decision. That was mostly about Saquon and the way that he ran and took the pressure off of Daniel Jones. And so when he was with the Giants for 6 years, there were a couple of injuries in there, but he had 5,200 yards and 35 touchdowns. That was on the ground. Remember, he had another dozen touchdowns and a couple thousand yards through the air. Giants decided not to franchise tag him again. And so this 3-year deal with the Eagles made him the highest paid running back in their franchise history. And he has been worth every single penny so far. And so, yeah, I mean, you could talk about the scene coming out of Hard Knocks with the Giants and all that jazz. Ultimately, he doesn't get a whole lot more money with the Eagles, but I think it's significant that Philadelphia saw his worth and that he was ready for something different. He was ready to be done with the whole rigmarole with the Giants, and he fits better with the Eagles, if we're being honest. But what about pursuing this record with Eric Dickerson? He's 101 yards shy, right? So he's now sitting on 2,004 yards this season, which puts him 101 shy with one game to go.
The way I look at it, if it's in God's plan, then it is. If I'm not overly trying to go get it. I'm not scared of it. Like, I would love to, but at the end of the day, also we got bigger things that we're focusing on, and we're able to clinch the division right here. Whether it's we play next week or not and rest, I'm fine with that too, because I didn't come here and sign here just to rush for 2,000 or break a record. I want to do something special.
Special would be winning a Super Bowl, right? Special would really be winning a Super Bowl in your first season with a division rival. But a year like this, still in the MVP conversation, obviously we can make a case for Lamar Jackson. We can make an easy case for Josh Allen, and the Bills were doing that. We'll talk about them coming up. But for the Eagles and Saquon Barkley and how he's put them back on the right track. Now remember, they had no Jalen Hurts in this game, still in concussion protocol. Kenny Pickett got injured on a hit by Micah Parsons. Wasn't flagged. I don't know that it was illegal. It was just a really hard hit. He didn't hit him full force. He didn't slam him to the ground with full body weight. Nothing like that. It wasn't a late hit. Mike is a clean player. He just is. I mean, he's a brute. And so Tanner McKee comes into this game. Didn't play pretty well. He's got a good offensive line in front of him. But this was about getting Saquon to the 2,000 yards with 101 to go. So Nick Sirianni peppered with questions after the game about whether or not Saquon will play next week and didn't really have a firm answer.
Again, I'll handle that as we go. I'm not thinking about that quite yet. I will get there. Probably later tonight when everyone's still celebrating, I'll be thinking about that and what we need to do. Our goals are bigger. It is a true, I was saying earlier, I think before you got in here, but I also am very sensitive to records and all the things there. And so we'll see how it goes. I don't know yet. you know, but we'll always do what's best for these guys. And that could be mean play them. That could mean rest them, right? It could be either one. I got to think about that. Looking forward to going out in the field and having it and playing catch with my kids after this, though. And then I'll think about it later.
Right. They should be celebrating. He deserves a little time playing catch with his kids because the Eagles are back on top of the NFC East. Remember last season, it was rough. Sirianni, some would tell you he was on the hot seat. Some would tell you he was extremely close to getting fired. A lot of it came down to, we'll say, less than optimal choices at the coordinator positions after he lost Jonathan Gannon and Shane Steichen to head coaching jobs. Didn't fill those jobs with guys who were ready, who fit, but I think putting them kind of square pegs into round holes or trying to shove that in, it didn't work. At Jalen Hurts, and he may have not seen eye to eye. I don't think there's much there. It's just about strong personalities and guys who are desperate to win. But Nick kind of lost his way a little bit, as did the Eagles. And now here they are. They've reestablished that identity, and you cannot overstate how much Saquon Barkley has to do with that. But yeah, congratulations to the Eagles, to Nick Sirianni, especially for figuring out a way forward and winning this tough division.
A big time accomplishment to win the NFC East of all the, you know, all the great teams that have won the NFC East in the past. So that was special. But our goals are bigger than just to win that. You know, we want to win our first playoff game and win our second playoff game and win our third and all the way to the end. And so we'll take that one game at a time. I'll do what I think is necessary and best for the team to, put ourselves in that position.
As for the Eagles, they're still a long shot for the top seed. It would take a couple of different dominoes falling. More than likely, will end up as the 2 seed. So what do they do moving forward into week 18? Because if they're the 2 seed, they end up playing the following week. And yeah, you need your guys to feel physically fresh and ready to go as much as possible this time of the year. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me. Also on our Facebook page. Now, kind of funny, the rest of the NFC East, every team with some type of a drama headline on Sunday. The Eagles clinched the division. The Commanders lock up a playoff spot with their 4th consecutive win in overtime against the Atlanta Falcons. We've talked about that one, so you can go back and get it at the podcast, which is still, by the way, available every weekday morning when we host the show. The Cowboys were on the receiving end of this Eagles beatdown. A lot of turnovers. Jerry Jones on the receiving end of some heckling there in Philadelphia, so we'll bring that back for you. And how about the Giants? I'm never a believer that you should be playing for the number one draft pick. That's ridiculous. The guys who are on the Giants roster right now, they don't care who the next quarterback is. Some of them won't even be there. What they're doing is playing for contracts, playing for jobs, playing, you know, try to prove themselves, whether it's to the Giants or other teams, that they're, you know, they're worthy of the next big deal. If they're free agents, they don't care about what happens in April with the number one draft pick. Brian Daboll may, but at the same time, he's trying to keep his job too. So the Giants end up spoiling the Colts' playoff hopes. And so Cowboys and Giants, they've got some questions to answer, but I want you to hear from both of these teams. The Giants are still sitting at 3-13, one of the worst in the NFL. The Cowboys are going to finish below 500. Seems like the NFC East is always consistently the soap opera of the NFL. Glad to have you with us on this Sunday night into a Monday from Houston, the After Hours super secret home base with a dog, which is cool. There's photos up. I keep checking to make sure she's back there and not freaking out, but I think the snoring would indicate that she's fine. There's photos up at A-Law Radio and then our Facebook page too. Here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Lock takes the snap, rolls right, hits Naval, runs out of a tackle, he's at midfield, down the right sideline to the 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, Malik Nabers, 59 yards, and today has truly been a beautiful day in Malik's neighborhood. his second touchdown of the ball game, and the Giants widen their lead with 8:39 to go. Locke calls out signal. Takes the snap, play fake. Locke back to throw. Rolls to his left. He's got a lane. He's to the five. He goes into the end zone for a touchdown. 42-33 Giants. Flacco back to throw. Airmails it. He's intercepted by Drew Phillips. He's to the 30. 25-20. Tripped up at the 17-yard line.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
From the Giants Radio Network, Bob Papa with the calls, and maybe this is a highlight for the Giants. I'm not sure about the Giants fans, but at least they finally got a win at MetLife Stadium. The only win for the Giants at home this year. Brutal. But Drew Locke was terrific, and he deserves a whole lot of praise. Here's what I'll say to kind of underscore my point about how these games still mean something to the guys who are out there. Drew Locke is playing for a job, right? Drew Locke is trying to extend his NFL career. And what does he do? He goes out there and he fires five touchdown passes, four touchdown passes and a rushing TD, more than 300 yards passing. He's amazing. The Giants end what is a franchise record 10-game winning skid. Amy, oh my gosh. Let's take two. There's no such thing as a winning skid. They snap a franchise record 10-game losing skid. And in doing so, they no longer are in charge of that number one draft pick, right? So they were in the driver's seat there. But you can't tell this group to go out there and tank the game so that next year's team can have the benefit of the number one overall pick. So good for you, Giants. Good for you, Drew Locke. And good for you, Brian Daboll, even as they play the role of spoiler and they take out the Colts.
I'm just happy for the players, for the coaches. You know, you go, it's a tough season. But we got a lot of good people, a lot of good character people on our football team, and they work every day, and it's good to see results. It's good to see smile on their faces. I'm happy for the players and the coaches that put so much into it.
We knew we had it in us. It's just time to go out and show it and do it and make the plays when they were there. Sure enough, we went out and did that today. So it was a fun time, really good time.
Yeah, you can't underestimate or overstate, I'll use both of those, how much a win means to a locker room that has suffered through and 10 losses in a row. It's not only their franchise record, it's hard to do. I mean, the NFL is so up and down. It's just a roller coaster ride all the time. But to suffer through 10 consecutive losses, especially all of those at home, to hear it from the fans, good for them. And they're not completely devoid of talent. We know that. And I'm not talking about Drew Locke, but Tyrone Tracy, he ends up over 1,000 yards. So does Malik Nabers, and he was terrific in this game. Really some bright spots there. Does Brian Daboll continue as the head coach with a new quarterback, presumably, in 2025? We shall see. Those are questions that still have to be answered. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Love to hear from you online at A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. Now, we're talking about the NFC East. We know that the Eagles have won the division. The Commanders have clinched a playoff spot. That leaves the Dallas Cowboys, who will not have a winning record this season. And of course, they've shut down CeeDee Lamb. They turn the ball over way too much. They don't have Dak Prescott. He was actually talking about how hard it is to watch, certainly, but how hard it is to suffer through a losing season, even as they still have 1 week to go. This is kind of the indicator, right, that this is a season that they won't be able to salvage anything. And so often it's come back to the turnovers. And you could say it's about Cooper Rush. He had a couple of interceptions in this game. Also a couple of fumbles there by other guys. It's just been a problem for them offensively for a good portion of the season.
Those are things that we got to be better. And then we had obviously the one on the long drive there in the second half. So then they got going with their run game, which they do best. I really, really felt like our guys had a chance to, you know, go win this today, and game got away from them.
Yeah, that's going to be another theme of this season for the Dallas Cowboys. Well, two, really, is that they failed to protect their home field after what was 16 consecutive wins, including playoffs. Well, it got ended against the Packers in the wild card round about a year ago. But for the Cowboys, the way they got demolished at home earlier in the season, just embarrassing. This is right after Dak gets the contract and CD gets paid, and they lose at home 44-19 against the Saints. Then they end up losing to the Ravens. Now, that was a close game, but it wasn't against the Lions a few weeks later, 47-9. I mean, ew. The Eagles beat them twice, obviously, and Cooper Rush had taken over at that point, but 34-6 in their game in Arlington against Philadelphia, 34-10 against the Texans. So, yeah, they finally win a game at home. That was against the Buccaneers going back a couple of weeks ago. But for them to finish up against the Eagles this way, yeah, it's pretty embarrassing. And Jerry Jones was hearing it from some faithful in Philly.
Jerry, you're doing a great job this year, man. Keep it going. Keep it going, Jerry. Great job. Four more years. Keep doing what you're doing, Jerry. We love you in Philly. We love
you. Hey, I know you do.
We love you. Especially
I'll try to live up to my standard
Thank
this year.
You very much. Right. Thank you. So keep doing what you're doing. I applaud, okay?
Some fans taking aim at Jerry Jones. You hear him responding to them, actually. That's NBC Sports Philly as he's getting heckled by fans. Now, Ryan, do we know that they were Cowboys fans or do we think they were Eagles fans?
They were Eagles fans.
They were Eagles fans. Okay, perfect. I was going to say, that'd be worse if it was Cowboys fans.
Wait, no. The thing the slug said, Cowboys fans.
Huh.
So it was Cowboys fans.
But he said four more years of it, which doesn't. Oh,
Dak?
I wonder. Yeah, so, well, true. So Dak Prescott, among the other Cowboys in the locker room, lamenting this lost season, one of the major question marks, not just about who gets hired in Chicago. Will Pete Carroll get that job or get a job back in the NFL? We already know Bill Belichick has gone to the college ranks. But what about Mike McCarthy? What do they do in the offseason? Will he end up keeping his job, getting another contract? Guys inside the locker room are stumping for him. Or will this be another change for the Dallas Cowboys, and will Mike McCarthy be on the out? So there's a lot of offseason questions building. Cowboys don't make the playoffs, but Eagles and Commanders do out of the NFC East. Now coming up, we'll talk AFC East and another performance by the Bills against the Jets. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.